Hello, and welcome to our special series of Green Elephant interviews during March 2021, supporting the annual B Corps Month. B Corporations, or B Corps for short, are businesses that meet the highest standards of verified social and environmental performance, public transparency, and legal accountability to balance profit and purpose. Throughout March, we are chatting with key people in companies which have chosen to certify as B Corps and become a force for good. Today, I have been joined by Jessica Yinka Thomas from North Carolina State University. NC State are a university in Raleigh, North Carolina in the US. They have 34,000 students and 7,000 faculty and staff, and are globally recognized for science, technology, engineering, and mathematics leadership. But here's the twist in today's show. They're not a B Corp. So we'll be talking to Jesse Yinka Thomas, who is Assistant Professor of Practice at the North Carolina State University and a Director of Business Sustainability Collaborative in Poole College of Management. Welcome to the show, Jessica.
Absolutely delighted to join you, Russell. Thank you so much.
So we better get it out in the open. The twist that we've thrown to our herd of listeners is you're not a B Corp. So why are we talking?
Absolutely. So as you mentioned, I work at North Carolina State University in the Poole College of Management. We're an academic institution and nonprofit. So we do not qualify to become a certified B Corporation. But in my role, I've had the opportunity to work with hundreds of both certified and aspiring B Corps. Another hat that I wear, in addition to the two that you mentioned on the faculty teaching in the business school and running the center, the Business Sustainability Collaborative, I also serve as president and chair of the board of B Academics. And so this is really my connection to the B Corp world, is building a global community of educators and researchers and students and practitioners, all with this shared vision of transforming education, right, in a way that really creates a more sustainable and equitable economy. And we do that through studying and teaching about B Corps and benefit corporations. And so I've had the opportunity to work with academics from all over the world who have this shared interest, and also to embed teaching about B Corps in my courses. And I also run an experiential learning program at NC State called the B Corp Clinic, where we work on consulting projects with companies that are aspiring or certified B Corps, working on continuing to improve their impact. So there's a huge connection between the academic community and the B Corp community that's just growing and continuing to grow.
And the students, are they students as in out of high school or into university students, or is it a more mature body of students that you're working with?
So from my perspective, I work both with our undergraduate students who are coming right out of high school, yeah, as well as our MBA and Master of Accounting, as well as graduate students from other programs who might be young professionals, but also professionals who've had years of business experience. And I know some of our other faculty in our B Academics network are actually working on developing curricula at the middle school and high school level that's focused on teaching about B Corps. And so I really think there are opportunities to engage and, engage students from kindergarten, right, all the way through retirement, retirees, right, lifelong learning. Yeah. And so my work really focuses on undergraduate and graduate students, but I think there are opportunities across the spectrum to use the B Corp framework, to use the B Impact Assessment, and to really inspire students with the innovative business leaders who are, building and growing B Corps, just to teach them what it means to be a purpose-driven, impactful business that really considers its impact across stakeholders.
So have you seen a step change in the US? Because obviously from the UK side, we've seen some interesting times in the last 4 or 5 years, especially in the sustainability space. But obviously with, and I'm not trying to get political or anything, but the obviously Joe Biden has come in with quite an agenda. Has that, have you seen a change in the business community and in the consuming community that towards the sustainability drive?
Well, if we're looking over the last 10 or even 20 years, I mean, I've been in academia for almost 20 years, teaching for almost 20 years, and I've seen a massive sea change during that time.
Yeah.
You know, looking at it from a student and from an academic perspective, first, I mean, I would say we've seen a shift from, you know, asking why are these issues of social and environmental impact important? And from a perspective that's very much focused on philanthropy or, you know, this is going to cost us money. And, you know, why would we engage in, you know, these types of business practices, to much more recently a focus on the how. And so we've kind of gotten past the why is this important and why would we do this from just a teaching perspective and a student perspective. And now my students are asking the question is how do we implement, right, sustainable business strategy? And I think increasingly companies as well are making that shift from why is this, you know, important to us as a business to we recognize that if we want to engage, you asked a question about consumers, right? Increasingly, yeah. Consumers care about issues related to social and environmental and community impact. Increasingly, investors care about these issues. And critical to business, right, are prospective employees, right? The students I teach, the students B academics teach, care about these issues. And so they aren't just looking for those jobs with the well-known companies or the companies that are, you know, maybe necessarily going to pay them the most, but they're saying, I want to go work at a company that's competitive, that's innovative, right? But that's also seeking to make the world a better place. And so increasingly, I think companies are now looking, you know, to hire employees that can help them figure out that how, right? And they're recognizing that these issues around social and environmental impact are critical to their medium and long-term success. And that's what that's been my approach from an academic perspective, is really preparing our students to be innovative in applying sustainable business strategies, because I think that's the real question, right? Is how do we, I think businesses have figured out how to, you know, strip value from the supply chain from a social and environmental perspective and make money. But what they haven't really figured out how to do well is how to really do that in a way that creates value. And we know it's possible and we know stakeholders are demanding that. And so the question now is just how, what are those strategies? And so I think that's been an incredible, you know, sea change over the last, you know, decade plus.
Yeah, it is becoming more, has the more visible, sorry, I should complete my sentence in my mouth as well as in my head. Has the pandemic changed opinions or has that changed anything further? Has that accelerated something? Has that stifled your educational approach?
I mean, I think the pandemic has actually provided an even stronger argument for the importance of our interdependence, for one, just how interconnected we are. Mm-hmm. I think the pandemic has highlighted issues related to systemic racism and the need not just to put in place, you know, business practices that are seeking, to build more equitable and more diverse businesses, but that are specifically focused on addressing and putting in place, policies focused on anti-racism. And so I think the pandemic has highlighted just the incredible inequities, not just here in the US, but around the world. And I think companies, and we've seen some initial research on this, companies that like B Corps, that have been much better at engaging with their employees, right? Providing quality benefits like paid sick leave, right, for their employees, that have been much more focused on building transparency in their supply chain, right, like B Corps, have just been better able to weather the uncertainty that COVID has created. And so I think what we've seen is just a much more compelling argument for the need and the critical importance of business models like B Corps that are really much more focused on engaging stakeholders and transparency and accountability.
So looking at B Corps as a standard, why hang an academic approach to it on, you know, what a curriculum, presumably what it is? Why use B Corps?
Yeah, that's such a great question. So I've been studying B Corps for about 10 years now, and I've been kind of working in the academic space around social innovation and sustainability for around 20 years now. And, you know, when I first started, studying B Corps, teaching about B Corps, something that I noticed is that students really connected with the concept. I think before that, it was very challenging to share kind of here's a rigorous, comprehensive, transparent framework, right, for thinking about what does it mean to drive social and environmental impact across a company's value chain. But B Corp, the B Impact Assessment does just that, right? Mm-hmm. And I think students can see, right, and recognize some of the more well-known B Corp brands, right? And so there's this really clear community of innovators, of leaders, of B Corp champions that you can point to as examples, companies, right, like Patagonia and Ben & Jerry's and Seventh Generation, for example. And so I think there's something that's just very clear, compelling, and that really resonates with students about the B Impact Assessment, the B Corp movement, and B Corps themselves. And so I haven't seen anything in all of my years of teaching, and I think many of the B academics I work with in our global network have similar experiences that students really connect with. And so when you find that as an educator, when students kind of really sit up and say, you know, oh, I want to learn more, this is really interesting, or I want to work for a B Corp, right, now that I understand what that means, or I want to buy from B Corps, or I want to start a B Corp. When you get students, you know, starting to have those kinds of conversations, I think to me that says, you know, we found something that's really compelling.
Yeah. Now, you said a couple of times that it's about environmental and social impact, which I quite like as a phrase, because sometimes you're thinking of sustainability. It's a bit vague, because what's sustainability? Is it sustaining the business, or is it sustaining, a cash flow? Is it sustaining the planet? You know, what is it? We obviously know a lot about environmental stuff, like reducing our CO2 emissions and sequestering and offsetting and all that kind of stuff. The social bit is probably something that is tricky to manage or tricky to measure. Is it tricky to teach?
Well, I think that's why the B Impact Assessment is such a constructive teaching framework. Okay. Because essentially, you know, I think the assessment itself is designed as a teaching tool for companies, right? Mm-hmm. So the way the assessment is structured is as a series of questions, right, that measure a company's impact. So if you look at social issues like, issues related to employee engagement, it asks very specific questions, right, around, is this company providing access to quality healthcare? Questions around what type of, is there a positive work environment? Questions about, are there opportunities for advancement, right? For professional development and advancement within this company. And so they're very specific questions that I think both for companies that are going through the assessment, but also for students who are studying the assessment, it provides a really clear roadmap for measuring social impact as well as environmental impact. And so the assessment looks at, for example, To what degree is a company really, you know, supporting and engaging with its local community? And so ask questions like, you know, does the company provide paid time off for employees to volunteer in the community? Are you making, you know, financial philanthropic contributions to community organizations? So it has, you know, really clear and specific metrics that are essentially, you can think of them as guidelines or again, a roadmap. To really think about what does it mean to really drive, you know, social impact, as well as maybe some of the more obvious environmental impacts related to energy, water, you know, waste management, inputs and outputs, renewable energy, et cetera. So I do think that it's, you know, it's a very comprehensive approach, right, to, again, social and environmental impact, and looks across key stakeholder groups, employees, community, customers, you know, to what degree is this company providing a beneficial product or service to its customers? Is this company improving health outcomes for their customers, you know, access to education for their customers, et cetera. And so, yeah, so to me, it's almost like an embedded, you know, curriculum, you know, the way the B impact assessment is designed. And I think the fact that it's adaptive is really constructive as a teaching tool as well. And so as maybe some of your, you know, the people you've interviewed have talked about, in the past, right, the B impact assessment looks different whether you're a services company or a manufacturing company, or whether you're a solo entrepreneur or you're a major multinational company, right, that the assessment adapts. And so I think that's really another interesting aspect from an educational perspective, is it gives students an opportunity to look at, explore, and study companies across the stage spectrum, right, across industries, across sectors. And so I think it's a very broad approach to really thinking through what does it mean to use a for-profit business to drive, you know, positive change.
Yeah, yeah, well, that's brilliant. But do you find yourself more enthused now you're in this B academic space? I pick up that you're very enthusiastic about it as I speak to many B Corps. Do you find this an enthusing subject, and do students? And
I mean, absolutely. Hopefully you can tell. It sounds like you can. And so I mentioned, you know, I first learned about B Corps a little over 10 years ago, and this has really been my passion since then. And it's been incredible to really build a global community of like-minded academics, and to know I'm not the only one out there. So our network is now, you know, over 2,000 educators, researchers, students, practitioners from B Corps who are part of this B academic network, over 50 countries represented, right, in our network, 600 different academic institutions, organizations, companies in this network. And so I think that's really help to build my enthusiasm. My engagement is really to be a part of this global community of like-minded educators and partners, and to see that you know, there's incredible power in this network, because we as educators, right, we are teaching, we're preparing the next generation of entrepreneurs, the next generation of business leaders, the next generation of investors. You know, current and future consumers or customers, and community members and policymakers. And so I think there's an incredible opportunity for us to really drive impact and to both, you know, educate and inspire those students. And at the same time, you know, conduct research that can inform how businesses operate and, you know, can work with businesses in real time to actually drive impact. And so there are many and increasingly more and more academics in our network who are working to build, you know, the type of consulting program that I mentioned earlier. Yeah. Our program is called the B Corp Clinic, but essentially, you know, connecting students to opportunities to put into practice what they're learning in the classroom and work with companies around the world to help them improve their impact. Again, using that B impact assessment as a framework or as a roadmap.
So this is brilliant. I'm kind of interested as to how you came up to this. You know, where did you realize that we had a problem, there was a climate issue, and you know, what struck your chord, young or later?
I mean, I'd probably have to go all the way back to, you know, just how I grew up. I mean, my father is Nigerian, my mother is American, and I grew up kind of going back and forth between West Africa. We lived in Nigeria, we lived in Senegal, and then kind of back and forth between West Africa and the US. And for me, the way that I grew up, the way that I was raised, my father was an economist. My mother is a computer scientist. And I was always brought up to think about, you know, what role can I play in making the world a better place? And I certainly saw, you know, growing up, you know, vast, just, you know, disparities, vast, you know, different approaches to, you know, how can we solve these challenges that we face locally and globally. And also growing up, you know, with parents from very, very different disciplines, you know, really thinking about very creative approaches, right, yeah, to problem solving and addressing change, addressing social and environmental issues. And so, in my career, I actually started out as an engineer. So I studied mechanical engineering undergrad. My first career was actually designing interactive educational children's toys. And so, an educator from the very beginning, I mean, I certainly still and always have seen kind of education as the core to change. And so was designing reading, math, and science toys early on, and really saw, I think, a significant social impact through that work that I was doing, but was essentially designing all of these plastic toys, right, ended up in the landfill. And so, you know, even, you know, back then in that first, you know, iteration of my career, was thinking about, you know, okay, I think we're having an incredible social impact here, but we weren't really thinking about the environmental impact of this. I worked with a company called Leapfrog, and helped to grow the company from a startup to, you know, when I left, the third largest toy company in the US. And we were manufacturing millions and millions of toys that today I know are in landfills, right, polluting our waters. And so when I went to business school, was very, you know, focused on how can I take a much more, you know, comprehensive approach, right, to purpose, to impact, and think about, again, not just the social piece, but the environmental piece as well. And so, that's kind of just been the evolution of just my approach to impact, to purpose. And then, you know, again, I spent the last 20 years or so in academia, evolving the work that I did from kind of more broadly focused kind of sustainable business to, you know, much more of a specific focus in the last 10 years on B Corps. Just a quick high level overview.
That's brilliant. I love the idea of your father being in economics, and obviously, you know, part of the challenge we've got here is the economics, perhaps the way economics developed in the 80s and 90s, especially into this boom and bust type, got to feed the shareholders and make them billions. Your foot in economy was that contest? Was that a difficult thing to? You see what I mean? That the economic change that's needed, or the change in capitalism, is that being a rubbing point at all? If I've asked that correctly.
So, I mean, we are currently working, right, within this, you know, for the most part, this capitalist system. And so, I mean, my approach has definitely been, you know, how can we how can we shift that system? And I think that's one of the things that I really connected with around the B Corp movement is a reality that this is an existing system that we work within, but how can we really shift that system from a much, you know, from a short-term focus on, again, extracting, right, value, extracting, environmental value, extracting social value just from the human beings who are used in this economic system for financial gain, to, you know, how can we still work within this existing system, but build companies and build an economy that's creating value? And, you know, I think there's certainly arguments for, you know, for completely tearing down the system, because I think, you know, we've seen that it's not working, right? And it's certainly not, it's working for a few, but not working for most of us. But I think that there is a way that we can, right, create an economy based on this current system, right, that can create value for stakeholders much more broadly defined. It's going to be, you know, it's going to take a massive shift, right, from the current economic system. But I think we're already seeing significant indicators, right, both from, you know, as I mentioned before, from, you know, the next generation of employees, from investors. And we're also seeing that we can't sustain this current economic system, right? We're looking at the impacts around climate change. We're looking at the impacts around extracting natural resources, water, right? Issues related to water scarcity. I think the signals are very clear that we cannot continue on this current track. And so I think the challenge is how can we shift the system in a way that continues to create economic value, right? Bottom line, financial value, but that is not built on, you know, that's built on our regenerative economy, that's not built on an extractive economy. And that's not going to be easy, right? That's not going to be easy, but that's exactly what I see as our goal as educators is, you know, doing the research, teaching and preparing that next generation to develop innovative solutions that do just that, that can help us shift to a more equitable, regenerative, sustainable economy. And I do believe it's possible. Are we going to get there fast enough? I don't know, but I think of when I wake up, and the last thing I think of when I go to bed.
Are we moving faster? I mean, it's an interesting question about education, because it's always been, you know, are we teaching our children the right things? You know, okay, maths and English or whatever language people are working in, and obviously the sciences and all that kind of stuff. But sometimes feel we don't teach people how to live. And of course, bad habits are taught by parents because parents haven't been taught properly how not to cook, how to buy from fast food, you know, whatever it might be. And the children go, oh, that's right. And we don't educate. Is that missing, do you think? And could education pivot, I suppose, would be an even better question. Could education pivot quickly to think there's a giant piece missing if we want to hit this 2050, which is an intelligent younger adult?
Well, that is exactly what we are working to do through B Academics, right? Is to pivot, and not just business education, but, you know, education across disciplines, so that we are, you know, preparing students to think in a way about the role, and again, not just of business, but how our communities operates, how our communities operate, the policies that we have in place. You know, how can we educate the next generation? How can we shift our education system so that we're not just creating awareness, right, of the global and local issues that we face, but that we're preparing problem solvers, right, change makers who will go into existing businesses, right, who will go into traditional businesses and really think about how can I take this marketing role, or how can I take this supply chain management role or this finance role and really think about, how can we, how can we develop products and really engage conscious consumers? So how can we create more resource efficiency in the supply chain or address issues related to labor and human rights in the supply chain? How can we develop, innovative investment mechanisms that are focused on renewable energy, right, versus extractive energy? And so that's exactly what we are seeking to do is shift our entire economic, our entire, education system. Economic system as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the economics will shift with the consumers. The economics will always follow the consumers. So we educate the younger upcoming money earners. They will force an economic shift, won't they? Because they'll buy from companies that are responsibly using their resources, and they'll want to work for them, and they won't support the ones that are wasteful, polluting, and treat their people badly or their community badly, are they?
Well, I think that's absolutely part of the puzzle is, educating consumers. I mean, to your point, educating workers as well. I mean, there's a huge, a need for progressive policies, right? And so I think there are levers at different, many different points in the system. The investment, right? Just our, from an investment perspective, this is historic focus on, generating short-term returns and, I think has to shift as well. So I would agree that consumers are a critical lever in driving that shift, but they're a number, and we're going to have to put pressure, right, on a number of different levers to accelerate that shift.
So this is a tough one for you, because I asked this to all B Corps, and I asked why they value what they value about the B Corp movement. What yours is a slightly different view. What do you value most about the B Corp movement?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great question. For me, and from an education perspective, I really value the focus on continuous improvement. Okay. And the reason that I'm really interested in B Corps is not just because of the community of, 3,700 plus certified B Corporations out there. It's because I think of the B Corp movement and the B Corp model as really a spectrum, right? And so we know that there are over 100,000 organizations, entities that have used the B Impact Assessment as an impact improvement tool. And that's really the goal from my perspective. And that's, I think, such an important message for students is this focus on continuous improvement. And so it's not just, get to 80 points, which is the threshold to become B Corp certified, but it's how can companies really at the early end edge of that, of that journey, make, continuous improvement, make improvement, and how can B Corps, right, on the other end of that spectrum, continue to improve, right, and continue to strengthen their impact business model. And so to me, that's what's most compelling about this movement is that focus on continuous improvement. And no matter where you are, right, there's always an opportunity to continue to think about how can you positively impact your stakeholders? How can you, increase your social, your environmental, your community impact?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's a lovely thought. And of course, I think is it next year that the standard gets refreshed, I think, or we're close to when, because it gets refreshed every 3 years. So that continuous improvement is reflected in the model as well.
Yes, absolutely. So every 3 years, the assessment itself, gets more comprehensive, strengthened more, I would say, at least what I've seen recently, right? More challenging. And so I think you're right. It's actually embedded in the assessment itself, that focus on continuous improvement.
Yeah, lovely. Well, thank you for that insight. If who can get involved with B Academics then? Can I?
Yes, absolutely, Russell. You can get involved with Be Academics. Really, anyone who is interested in just learning about or getting engaged with educators who are teaching about studying and working with B Corps. And so I'd encourage anyone out there, if you want to learn more about Be Academics, you can just go to beacademics.org. We've got a mailing list where you can get our monthly newsletter. So that's a great kind of first step, is just to learn more about how we're sharing best practices, highlights on research that can inform the B Corp and the broader business community, find out about our events. So definitely recommend, Russell, you join our mailing list. And then we've also just started a membership. So for those who want to get more deeply engaged, can become a member of B Academics as well. But we've got, you know, K through 12 educators, university educators. We have many B Corps are, you know, part of our network as well, because they're interested in connecting, whether it's recruiting students, whether, you know, we have lots of our B Academics invite B Corps to come in and guest lecture in the classroom. As I mentioned, lots of opportunities to work on consulting projects with B Corps and aspiring B Corps. So there are lots of opportunities for practitioners to get engaged in the Be Academics movement.
Okay, well, I'll sign up after our chat, and I'll also put links to this all on our page, and we'll seek to promote it over in the UK. I know I've bumped into somebody today on a Zoom call, but you know, and they were saying, and I was mentioning I was coming to talk to you, and she said, I never heard of it, and that might be useful for this university who's thinking of running up their own course. And I'm like, yeah, okay, probably will, but I didn't know enough, and now I do, and so thank you for that.
Absolutely. And what I'll say to that is, one of the things we are seeking to do is work with academics like that, so they don't have to start from scratch.
No, absolutely.
Right. Great best practices, sample syllabi, teaching tools. So on our website, we have over 400 research, teaching, and engagement resources. And so the idea is, how can we support academics and faculty in teaching about, researching, and engaging with B Corps without having to start from scratch?
Yeah. Oh, a brilliant resource. Oh, excellent. Oh, lovely. Glad I found you, and I'll look forward to being part of your herd as well as as well as our tribe of B Corps. I asked you if you had an action to bring to my listeners or our listeners. What would you recommend people do apart from signing up to Be Academic?
I would encourage your audience to look for that B Corp certification when they're shopping. Yeah. And really to consider the power of your consumer, of your consumer dollar, your consumer pound, right? And think about the power that you hold, and the choices that you make. And I think there's an incredible community of B Corps that's producing, you know, very, you know, high quality, really innovative products and services out there. And you can, I mean, I think that's just a simple action, right? It's driving change, driving impact through just being a little bit more thoughtful in your purchasing decision. And that B Corp certification, I think, makes it easy, right, to identify those companies that are really at the leading edge of impact.
I agree. And it's a great tip. We've got a few storefronts now that are only selling B Corps. Ocado and Waitrose and others that just have set up a B Corp site, and you can just buy B Corp yogurt or whatever you want. And I think I really encourage B Corps to stick their label on their product, proud and prominent, because it's getting, I'm raving about it, as you rave about it, as every B Corp raves about it. And I don't think until you actually look into it that you appreciate how much work goes into becoming a B Corp, and therefore, and how you can't do it as a marketing stunt, can you?
Right. I mean, the standard is too high for it to be simply a marketing strategy. Absolutely.
That's brilliant. Well, thank you for that action. what about a recommendation for us to take away and read a book or watch a program?
Yes, so I will highly recommend Chris Marquis's new book, Better Business, How the B Corp Movement is Remaking Capitalism, as we just talked about. Professor Marquis is on the faculty at Cornell University. And I think this is an incredible book that just came out last year that really, I think, is a great, gives you a great kind of historical perspective on the trajectory of the B Corp movement. And I think really illustrates the ways in which, again, you know, B Corps are really, you know, reimagining capitalism. So I would definitely recommend Chris's book.
Yeah, I mean, it reminds me that Al Gore recently said something along the same lines. Is that has that resonated around America? Because it kind of resonates with us, because Al Gore is held in reasonable esteem, I would say, in the UK. Does it carry some weight there?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it depends on who you ask. I mean, yeah. I like to think so. I like to think so, and I would hope so. We're at a very interesting time. So I think it's
and people love people or loathe people. You know, I don't know if you've seen Bill Gates' new book, and you kind of read it and you kind of go, yeah, that kind of, you know, five things to avoid a climate disaster, and you can kind of see where he's coming from. And it's nothing, but many people might go, oh, Bill Gates, you know, but he's doing some pretty amazing things on the back of becoming a multi-billionaire. Right then, I step into the final stages of fact or fake. Are you ready for these? I promise you.
I am ready. As ready as I'm ever going to be, Russell.
I must admit, I thought I'm going to get sustainability facts about education, and it was pretty tricky. Huh. And so I ended up falling to UNESCO. And we're a little bit global, so I would forgive you if you didn't know these figures. But according to the UN Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization, UNESCO, for those who didn't know, 3 million girls in Kenya will not return to school this year due to the pandemic. Is that a fact or a fake? 3 million girls in Kenya will not return to school this year due to the pandemic.
Wow. I mean, I sadly would not be surprised if that is fact. And so I don't know exactly what that number is, but I know whatever that number is, it's quite high. So I don't know if 3 million is the number, but yeah.
So you're going to plump 3 million, or do you think it's something different?
I don't know what the population of Kenya is. So I don't know how that compares to the population of Kenya. I'm going to say fact. So I'm curious to hear.
So, it's a fake, and I did do it quite dramatically. It was 11 million girls.
Okay, yeah,
I mean, fair enough. I understand you don't understand it, but the Kenyan newspaper, the Daily Nation, reported that it could be due, and considering the age of children we're talking about here, girls becoming pregnant or getting married due to the period, during the period which the schools were closed. So, you know, to us, or to me in the UK, that seems quite a horrific statistic. And then, of course, impacting on, you know, women's ability to learn in the future.
Absolutely. Wow, 11 million.
Yeah, dreadful figure. I don't like doing those type of ones because I like the upbeat ones, which we'll get to it hopefully at the end. So... I had a couple which are tricky ones. So UNESCO again announced last year that the funding gap for global education has significantly increased from $39 billion a year in 2015 to as much as $200 billion a year now. Is that a fact or a fake? So presumably that's just the funding gap between the needed education and the education that was available.
So I'm quite confident that it is increased. You have some very specific facts. So
I know,
if it's 200 or 205 million.
Never do that. We would go massively. I'd say something, or I might, well, you'll have to go for it.
So yeah, I'll guess fiction in this case, but I'm not sure exactly where. So that's
the wrong way. The gap is now 200 billion a year.
200 billion, yeah.
Or thereabouts, as much as. So again, you know, in the world that you live, the funding in education and making education, if we're going to make a difference to the consumer and the worker of the future, it's going to be through education, isn't it? I mean, apart from improving family life, it's got to be that way. Okay, a little bit less grim. In a table of the number of higher education institutions in the United States, in the academic year of 2018-19, North Carolina in the 50 states came eighth. Is that a fact or a fake?
Eighth based on what? Sorry, what is the...
On the number of academic higher education institutions in the state, both 2 and 4 year courses.
Oh, the absolute number. So this is not relative to the population. This is an absolute number. Eighth in the country. Huh. I don't know. You've faked me out so much. I mean, there are quite a few. There are quite a few academic institutions here in North Carolina. How does that compare to all of the other 50 states? I mean, we're a relatively small state. So I'm going to say we're not quite up that high. I'll say I would say that the quality of our academic institution is quite high, but in absolute...
That's not on the table I've got, I'm afraid.
I'm going to say in absolute numbers, I don't think we're quite that high. So I'll say that's a fake.
And you'd be wrong. You are. North Carolina is eighth. In 18-19, it had 75 with they split it into 4 and 2 year course institutions. 73 which are delivering 4 year courses and 63 2 year courses. Where California sitting in the first place, presumably because of Silicon Valley attraction and such the like. And New York, Pennsylvania, Texas, Florida, Ohio, Illinois, North Carolina.
All right, excellent.
So number of institutions, you're obviously a state interested in education.
And did
you say 50 B Corps in North Carolina alone?
Right, over 50 B Corps last time I checked in North Carolina.
That's brilliant, brilliant. So obviously North Carolina place to be. And if you can't be there physically, you can join Jessica on the B Academics and enjoy a second community if you're a B Corp and a first community if you're interested in sustainability. Jessica, it's been a delight to talk to you to hear something somewhat different from the normal story we've been talking to through B Corp Month. So I thank you very much for your time and insights.
Absolutely. My pleasure, Russell. And I hope you and I hope everyone listening has a happy B Corp month.
We really hope that you found this special B Corp month episode both informative and entertaining. Make sure you don't miss any of the 31 interviews with B Corporations who are striving to be a force for good. So make sure you subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss a thing. And don't forget to spread the word with others. If you have any questions about being or becoming a B Corp or any comments and suggestions about the show, please do get in touch. You can email studio@greenelephant.show or visit the website greenelephant.show or find us on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube or Twitter by searching for Green Elipod or The Green Elephant Show. You can also review the show on Google and Apple Podcasts. Join us tomorrow and we hope you have a sustainable day.